Oh, Martha, Melanie, John, thank you. Whew, boy, that just opens a heart and just mind and oh, very, very expansive. So, did any of you have some wonderful activities yesterday for Earth Day? Did you celebrate or do anything special? Or don't all talk at once, come on. Did you at least go out and walk on the grass or touch a tree? Or, well, anyways, we are in that time of understanding how important it is to take a day apart to remind us of how important our beloved planet Earth is, that we live on, that we are sustained by. And so my talk for today is treading gently on planet Earth, treading gently and remembering how important it is to be mindful. We have such a beautiful world around us in so many ways, whether it's raining or whether it's snowing or the lightning in the sky or the sunset or the birds flying or the beautiful little white flowers. We don't have those pear trees or whatever they are in California much, or not that I saw. So when I first came here, I said, oh, Vicki, there's popcorn all over the trees. You know, that's my sister. And I was like, but I call them popcorn trees because you drive down the street and they all look like puffed popcorn. And it's so wonderful, and the red bud, and you start to hear the birds that, you know, that have been away for the winter, coming back in the spring, and we get a little bit busy on our computers and our cell phones and in life because we have a lot of things to do, and we forget about all the beauty that's around us and sort of taking a moment to be more mindful. In scripture from Psalm 65, 8 through 12, it says, the whole earth is filled with awe at your wonders. Where morning dawns, where evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. You care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with grain, for so you have ordained it. You drench its furrows and level its ridges. You soften it with showers and bless its crops. You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the wilderness overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness. A psalm, a song that celebrates the beauty of our earth, and just as we sang. And it gives us pause to kind of remember, because we get very busy in our lives, and having become so industrialized, we are becoming vast consumers of the resources of our planet. And at this time, we are averaging using 1.5 of the amount of resources that the planet has to offer. In others, 1.5 times of what it actually really has to give to us, we are using right now. And unless we shift in our consumption, by 2050, we will be using 2 times as much as this planet can actually generate. Now, that's not to call us into a doom and gloom, because a lot of times it gets sensationalized, and that's what happens when we talk about global warming, when we talk about all the ecological footprint, and then we start to spiral down. What it's meant to do, friends, is to just remind us to be mindful and to appreciate. There is a Cree Indian proverb that says, only when the last tree has died and the last river has been poisoned and the last fish been caught will we realize we cannot eat money. It's not real tasty, and it's not very nourishing. And Barbara Ward, who is a British economist, she goes on to say, we have forgotten how to be good guests, how to walk lightly on the earth as its other creatures do. Friends, it's so important to recognize that our planet, that our universe, that we are all a part of an ecological system, at one with nature, with the sprites, with the the fish in the sea, with the birds that fly in the air, with the rocks and the stones, with the mineral kingdom, with the whole planet and our universe. And friends, it is up to us to be good stewards, to recognize how important it is for us to be mindful of this beloved planet on which we reside. And we take so much for granted, don't we? Many of us have running water. Most of us have running water. Many people don't. We have food to eat. We have resources. We have energy. We have light. And we have just utilized them for so long, we take them for granted. And again, these are wonderful gifts. So it's not about going into a place of feeling guilty or going into a place of shamefulness because we have and maybe someone doesn't. It's a matter of recognizing and being grateful for. Because when we recognize these gifts and everything that our planet provides for us and gives to us, when we recognize the gifts, we utilize them more graciously. We utilize them with love, and then we participate together. It invites us to recognize that we are all in this together. Cahil Gibran said, "Forget not that the earth delights to feel your bare feet, and the winds long to play with your hair." We haven't had too much time yet to run barefoot in the grass, but I'll tell you, the grass is long enough now, and there have been warm enough days we can almost do that. And yet we forget, in the busyness of all the things that we feel we have to do, to take time apart, to let the wind blow through our hair, to feel the grass underneath our feet. And to recognize, friends, that we are stewards of this planet. From Genesis 1:26, "Then God said, 'Let us make humankind in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.'" Let them have dominion. You know, and from that personal human place, and when we look up the word dominion in the dictionary, it's power over, authority, ruling. And yet when we take a look at what that means at a deeper spiritual sense, made in the image and likeness, created in the image and likeness of God, which is the energy of all being, we can take that understanding of dominion and power to a different level. We take it to a place of stewardship. We take it to a place of caring, of the inner power of love and grace that is ours to exhibit, to help in our planet, to help our world, to be a part of making a difference. Justin Holcomb, who is an Episcopalian priest, and he does lectures and religious talks at various universities, and he says, "It is true that a false view of dominion has played a role in the mistreatment of creation, but a correct understanding of the concept can lead to service, responsibility, and stewardship." Understanding that in the words of "created in the image and likeness of God," we are creators. And do we create forward through our intentions, through our footprint on the planet, through the actions that we take and what we participate in? And Brooke Medicine Eagle, she is an American author, she is a songwriter and a Native American teacher. She says, "There is hope if people will begin to awaken the spiritual part of themselves, that heartfelt knowledge that we are caretakers of this planet." Friends, we are caretakers of this planet. And it is so important to understand our stewardship and to recognize what it is that we can do to make a difference. To appreciate all the gifts that we've been given and in the wonders that we have around us every day, but to choose what footprint we will leave upon this earth in the way that we walk, in the way that we interact, in the way that we move forward, in our expectations. You know, we're oftentimes pretty focused on instant gratification, are we not? I mean, our computers, man, I was working on my computer the other day and it didn't just pop right up. It took all of 3 seconds to instead of one, and I'm like, you know, impatient. And we're so used to that immediacy that's around us all the time. And so we come to expect it in a way that moves us away from allowing the grace of Spirit, the deeper wisdom that we call the presence of living Godness in us, the divinity in which we are created. We get away from allowing ourselves to feel that flow, to connect to it, to be part of it, to intention it forward, to participate. From Atom Smashing Power of Mind, written by Charles Fillmore, he says, people everywhere on earth are now realizing as never before that the well-being of this world rests with its inhabitants. We have shifted in our spiritual understanding that we are no longer looking to a God out here to take care of us. We are understanding, friends, we are understanding we have been created in the image and likeness of God in order to draw that presence and power forth, that dominion, the spiritual power, in order to live a life that gives back, that participates. We are maturing. We no longer expect someone else to do it for us. We are the ones that make our world happen, that make our world healthy. We are the ones that share with each other, that understand we are interwoven together. He goes on to say, the pessimist moans, well, I could make a better world than this. Haven't we all sort of said that at one time? Well, this doesn't work. That doesn't. I can make a better world of this. He goes on to say, the optimist sings, go to it. That's what God put you here for. Go to it, friends. Chief Seattle, who was a very famous Indian chief back in 1855, said, we did not weave the web of life. We are merely a strand in it. Whatever we do to the web, we do to ourselves. All things are bound together. All things connect. As we begin to have a greater understanding of the oneness, the interwovenness of all of existence, of all of creation, we can begin to decide what role we play, what is ours to do. And it's not about comparing to someone else. It's simply knowing what's ours. And I love it when I visit my sister and her husband in California. I've told you many times that they're very focused on trying to put a lighter footprint on the planet. And of course, California has been through a drought, and we sort of forget that California is a desert. It doesn't exactly look like that at first notion, but it is. And so I see with what great passion they went and they took classes, and instead of planting things in the ground, because you do that and you water them and then the water goes on and dissipates, if you plant them in tubs and you do things differently and put water retention type things in them, they learned all that. I don't know how that works. Then they don't need to use as much water. And they recycle when they wash vegetables in the sink. They gather the water. They collect and they water their plants. I'll tell you, when I'm out there, I like have to learn a whole new way of being because, you know, I forget brushing my teeth, leave the water on. Ooh. And I would like to know better than that. And I appreciate that they make me more mindful. So I begin to create a new habit when I'm out there, and then I bring that back. And it's funny because I look at, well, heck, there's the whole river here. And, you know, it looks like there's a lot of water. But we forget what little individual things make a difference on our planet. So as we begin to decide, what will we do? How will we make a difference? We're invited to understand that that it's a part of working together. It's a part of simply being more mindful, of recognizing where we could do something just slightly different to make a difference. From Philippians 1:27, it says, "You are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind, friends." And Philippians 2:2-4, it says, "Complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." Friends, in celebrating this Earth Day, it is time for us to take a look at what is ours to do. What kinds of things, what kinds of things could we do differently? Anybody want to shout some things out that you think you might be interested in changing? Not using water bottles, maybe. Maybe taking your mug to Starbucks so you don't use up their cardboard. Something else. Say what? I'm sorry. Turn off lights, exactly. Unplug the electronics. Okay, some other ideas. Does anybody know that when you wash your car at home, you use more water than if you take it to a car wash? Because at a car wash, they recycle the water and it is more concentrated. Okay, here's some fun things. That 9 unusual things you can recycle. I love this. Well, most of us know CFL light bulbs. There's places you can. Retailers will take them back for free. Video games. Walmart and Sam's Club locations nationwide now accept old games in exchange for store credit. How cool is that? Sneakers. Drop off your worn-out athletic shoes at a participating Nike or Converse store and they'll be ground into building materials through the Nike Reuse a Shoe program. Isn't that cool? Oh, this is my favorite. This is why I looked up this whole thing. It said pet fur. I'm like, what? Excuse me, what? Because any of you have dogs or cats, and when you brush them, you know, and you've got piles of fur, it says pet fur. For charity, the charity Matter of Trust is seeking clean hair to help soak up oil spills. Hair salons and pet groomers supply much of the hair. But individuals are welcome to donate too. Who would have thought? So I'm looking at my hairbrush going, okay, you know. These little things that we can do, friends, it's like a step at a time. Pantyhose. Guys, I'm sorry, that kind of probably leaves you out. But, you know, it's like hosiery brand No Nonsense collects used pantyhose. I just have always thrown mine out. Get around in it, throw it out. It's like, well, isn't that cool? Wine corks. You can ship them to Recork and they'll be turned into new products like shoes. Now, I know I'm the only one here who drinks wine, but, you know, it's like that's a good way to do that. Okay. Makeup packaging. You know, all the cardboard and stuff. You know, so there's lots of ideas. And out in the foyer for any of you who want to pick up a little, I made up a little sheet. We have these from last year of all the different things you could choose to do. One little tiny step. It might be you make a commitment today to stop using plastic water bottles and to start carrying, you know, some other kind of container. Or carrying your, like as I said, carry your coffee container into to a Starbucks so that you don't use their cups. You might make a commitment right now to remember to turn the water off when you brush your teeth. Each of us has a different way of making a commitment. And I'm going to have you think about that for a minute while I have Kenny play you some music to listen to and think about just one thing that you would like to focus on, that you would like to change and do differently.
Right here, right now, we are all connected somehow. Even a whisper in the dark becomes a prayer that reaches reaches out and touches your heart. A rising tide lifts us all. Every drop of water helps to keep the flow. When you make a ripple in the river of life, we will all be lifted. Lifted by the rising tide. We all have dreams of a world where we can live in peace. And each act of kindness builds a bridge that leads us to the common ground beyond our differences. A rising tide lifts us all.
So, friends, as we allow ourselves to experience Earth Day, let us understand that recognizing oneness with all creation, let's walk reverently on planet Earth, recognizing our oneness with all creation. Let's choose to walk reverently on planet Earth. And let's take that one thing that we've made a decision to make a difference, to shift, to move in directions that enhance our planet, that love our planet, that contribute to peace and the rising tide and the drop in the ocean. You know, a comedian once said, if you think you're too small to be effective, you've never been in bed with a mosquito. You know? Oh man, I'm out there swatting around, and you know, it's like we forget that one small step makes a difference. So engage the rest of today. Take your shoes off. Feel planet Earth. Go hug a tree. Pet your animals. Keep the fur. Set it aside. Send it in. Enjoy and appreciate and give thanks and celebrate. And know that your prayers are also a way to contribute and be part of shifting this planet to one that is sustainable. Jane Goodall said, you cannot go get through a single day without having an impact on the world around you. What you do makes a difference, and you have to decide what kind of difference you want to make. And in closing, I will give this quote from Dave Foreman, who is an environmentalist, and he was the founder of Earth First. He says, do something. Pay your rent for the privilege of living on this beautiful blue-green living Earth.